Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Hear again these words of our Lord Jesus Christ from John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This is our text. Aside from one or two people that may have some hobby grapevines, I don't know that any of us here are particularly familiar with vines and branches in terms of growing grapes. But I know that we have plenty of people who have some experience in farming or in gardening. And what is it that all of them want, a vine dresser, a farmer, or a gardener? It's pretty obvious, I think. All of them want a nice harvest. All of them want a good crop. Now, to someone who's never worked the ground before, that may sound like a simple task. It's not. Producing a good crop is the most difficult part of the job. A row full of carrots, a tree loaded with cherries, a nice cluster of grapes require hard work, long hours, and very dirty hands. It involves planting, pruning, cutting, thinning, weeding, watering, fertilizing, and fighting off insects and disease. And even then, you still have to wait, and you have to pray that you get enough sun and enough rain. It's no wonder that vine dressers, farmers, and gardeners are so focused on the fruit, so worried about the crop that they grow. That's their business. That's how they feed their families. That's how they earn a living. And so they carefully cultivate their fields. They tend their plants to produce the best harvest year after year after year. In the Christian life, in your Christian life, as in farming, good fruit is important and necessary. Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. St. Paul, in the book of Galatians, names what he calls the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As Christians, there should be good fruit hanging from us, hanging from our hands, from our lips, from our minds. Good fruit is anything done in faith according to the Ten Commandments, for God's glory and for the good of our neighbor. You heard in John 15 how Jesus also speaks about fruit in today's reading. Actually, you might say he gives the big picture. He says there's a vine dresser, and there are fruitful and unfruitful branches. And he explains how all of these are related to each other. As you hear the reading, as you think about the reading, pay attention, because it's important that each of us know our place in the vineyard. It's important that we recognize who we are, that we understand how we're connected to it. So here's a real brief tour of that vineyard. Take a look at the place where all the good fruit is produced. This is how it's laid out. I am the vine, Jesus says. I am the vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. He's the farmer. He's the gardener. He goes on and says, I am the vine. You are the branches. It's important that we know who we are. We are the branches of the true vine, Jesus Christ, being tended by the vine dresser Father. And the thing here to keep in mind, first of all, is this. That it's the vine dresser Father who is concerned about producing the fruit. He is the one who cuts out the dead wood. He's the one who trims back the sickly and damaged branches so that they can bear more fruit. Good fruit is the end result, But I do wonder, if we are the branches, is that the main thing we need to be worried or concerned about? If we are the branches, then is our job to put the focus on the good fruit? Some people might think so. Some people think that being a Christian is simply about being a good person and doing good things. Now, far be it from me to tell you not to be a good person or not to do good things. But I want you to be thinking that that's not all it means. Because if that was all it meant to be a Christian, then I could stand up here and just give you a list of instructions on how to live your life. I could tell you what to do and what not to do, and then send you out to do the work of producing good fruit. As if all we need to do to get a good crop is to tell the branches to bear good fruit. I can tell you right now, if I go out to my apple trees and my peach tree and tell them to bear good fruit, speak to those branches, it's not going to make any difference. Because that's not how it works. Now, I'm not saying that the Christian faith is uninterested in how we live. It has a lot to say about how we live our lives. For one thing, there are the Ten Commandments. We've been reviewing those before service. You shouldn't have any other gods. You shouldn't misuse the Lord's name. Don't disregard his word. Honor your father and your mother and other authorities. Don't hurt anyone. Lead a chaste and decent life in what you say and do. Don't take things that aren't yours. Don't tell lies. Don't desire what belongs to your neighbor. That is God's good and perfect law, and we do need to hear it. But the law isn't primarily there to bring about good fruit in our lives. It's primarily there to show us our sin. That is, the Ten Commandments can identify a bad crop. The Ten Commandments can identify fruitless branches. But they won't produce any grapes. Producing grapes is something a dead and sickly branch can't do, even with the best instructions. So if you focus only on the fruit, if you make the Christian life into a moral code or instructions about how to live, then you've made a big mistake. You've made a big mistake because that's not your job. Remember who you are. You are branches. And remember who the vine dresser is. Not you. It's your Father in heaven. The fruit is his business. It's his work. And so we leave it to him to produce the crop with whatever painful pruning or cutting he must do in our lives. And he does it. You know it. By his word, he does prune us back. He does cut us. By our brothers and sisters in Christ and others with whom we live, he prunes us and cuts us back as we come to see our sin. And by our suffering in this world, he prunes us as well. But notice what Jesus says in this passage about bearing fruit. It's not so much that he commanded it. He didn't say, "You are the branches, bear fruit." He promised it. He gave a 100% guarantee about how good fruit comes to be. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. What I mean is this. You must learn to think not like a gardener, but you must learn to think like a branch. You must learn to think not like a gardener, but you must learn to think like a branch. Your Father in heaven has the whole gardener part covered. That's his job. So what is the most difficult thing about being a branch? It isn't bearing fruit. Producing the crop may challenge and confound the gardener, but for a branch that is healthy, bearing good fruit is easy. It's natural. It's what a branch does. For a branch that is attached to the vine, it will bear good fruit. It will grow grapes. No, the most difficult part of being a branch is remaining connected to the vine. The most difficult part about being a branch is undergoing the pruning and remaining connected. The word that Jesus used repeatedly in the passage today is the word abide, remain, abide in me. You branches, whatever age you might be, whatever your position in life is, you are called to this, to abide in Jesus Christ. It means don't become detached from your Lord. You and I have seen it happen how many times? People who become detached from the Lord. Perhaps the branch first gets broken a little bit, but it's still connected, but over time it weakens and weakens until it dies. He is the true vine, and apart from him, you will bear no fruit and you will have no life. And in fact, we can even say that the good things that many people do aren't really fruit at all if they aren't connected to him. And if a person is concerned about fruit but neglects the words of Jesus, if you're only concerned about the good things you have to do but you forget these words, abide in me, then you miss the whole point. The reason Jesus tells you to abide in him is because he knows what you're up against. He knows that it's not easy to be a Christian. He knows that it's not easy to remain a Christian. And he knows that it won't get any easier as time goes on. The devil, the world, sometimes even our own family and friends, and certainly our sinful nature, are against Christ and against you. A lot of this comes to my mind because 3 weeks from now, 6 of our young people will be going through the rite of confirmation. On May 19th, we will all acknowledge the difficulty of being a Christian. And we will acknowledge these enemies. They will be asked to renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways. They will confess the Apostles' Creed, making a public statement before family and friends and you and God himself that they are branches of the true vine, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Son as one God forever. They've been studying the Old and New Testament scriptures because they know that these scriptures contain everything we need to know about the vine and about being branches. And as we study God's word, as we hear God's word, as we pray God's word, we abide in Jesus. And they will make promises, promises that are as serious as life and death. Those promises are made not by their own power, but by the grace of God in Christ Jesus, because they are as they are attached to him. And the promises, the questions all boil down to this: do you intend to abide in me? That is Jesus, even to death. Do you intend to remain in me, to remain in my word and sacraments, to live according to them, and to confess the true Christian faith? And the answer is, I do, by the grace of God. By the grace of God. A reminder that we Christians of all ages are often tempted to abandon or to break these promises. We are often tempted to see our life as a life that is separate from the life of the vine, Jesus. So we are to strive to remain in Christ. And yet we also know this, that the work of God has already connected these 6 young people, and the word of God has already connected you to Christ. You are branches. Not those who want to be branches or hope to be branches or want to make yourself into branches, but you are branches. And it is God's work to keep you in Christ, and it is God's work to bring out an excellent harvest in you. The bigger picture is this: the Father, the vine dresser, wanting a good harvest, planted a perfect seed. And he put that perfect seed into the womb of the Virgin Mary. It was his Son, Jesus Christ, true vine of the human race. When every other vine and branch was sickly and dead, God began with his son. And that vine grew, and it gathered branches, and it wrapped around the cross for your sins, and it was buried in the grave. And then on the third day, it sprouted again, stronger than ever, to extend its reach into every corner of the earth. Jesus Christ is the true vine. He is the true vine who vines here at our Savior through his word and his sacraments, attaching you to himself that you might be branches of him. Abide in him. Abide in his gracious invitation. Abide in the forgiveness he gives. Abide in the life and salvation that he provides. In other words, he invites you to remain right where you are now, right where God has put you, in him. He invites you to hear his word, to draw strength and nourishment from him. He invites you to take the sap from his veins, his blood that flowed from the cross, present in the chalice. You are baptized. You are branches. Your life is connected to Jesus the vine. Live not in your own works, but in his work, in his fruit, in his forgiveness, and let him do his work in you and have his way in your life, because he made the promise. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. This is the confidence that we have, that Christ will bear fruit in us. And so we can say, if I remain in Christ, if I abide in him, if I am connected to the vine, it's certain that for his sake, my vocation in life, my calling at home, my life in school, my employment, my life as a husband or wife or friend or worker, and my works are acceptable to God and are precious fruit in his sight. For his sake, the sake of Christ. For he is the vine, you are the branches, and he stretches out into the world, he stretches out to you, and attached to him, you are clean, you are forgiven, and you will be fruitful. In Jesus' name.